sixth chapter in the book of Matthew. I want everyone to stand, if you would. Take your Bible, and you probably will not need your Bible, because I'm going to begin reading in verse number 9. And this portion is very familiar to all of us, because this is what is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. It is the prayer He taught His disciples to pray. And so let us say it together, beginning with the middle portion of verse number 9. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Now turn around and shake hands with someone before you're seated. Tell them you're glad to see them in God's house tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your presence tonight in this place. Glory to God. Amen. This is not just a good Monday night crowd. This is a wonderful Monday night crowd. Wonderful because you have chosen to be in God's house where He is, and He is in this sanctuary tonight. Now, in this portion of Scripture that you have just quoted or read with me tonight, we have some very interesting doctrines given to us. Now, if the word doctrines turn you off, just let me say that doctrines simply means teachings. And in this one short pattern prayer are many of the major teachings of the Word of God. As Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He taught them to pray, Our Father. And here you have the teachings of the Father Himself. And He said, which art in heaven. And here we have the teachings of the doctrine of the reality of another world. You see, the earth is not the only inhabited planet in the universe. There is a planet called heaven, and that is inhabited as well. And our Father is in heaven, which is commonly referred to as the third heaven. And then He taught His disciples to pray, Hallowed be thy name. And there we have the teachings of the wonder and the magnificence of the name of our Heavenly Father. And then we come to the teachings of the kingdom and the will of God. And then the teachings concerning the provisions of our daily bread. And then forgiveness. But it is contingent upon us forgiving others. We want always to be forgiven. But you must always be willing to forgive if you want to be forgiven. And there we have the teachings of the forgiveness of the Lord. And then we come to the thought of temptation, to be led away from it and not into it. He never leads us into temptation, but He delivers us from temptation. And we have the thought of a delivering God. We belong to a delivering God. He sets us free, and whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. And then it speaks of the evil. And again it speaks in verse number 13 of the kingdom and of the power and of His glory. And I can tell you that is some kind of a prayer that the Lord taught His disciples to pray. But our text is going to be found in verse number 13. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I'm going to speak to you tonight on this thought, the kingdom of heaven. The first mention of the kingdom, since it is mentioned twice in this portion of Scripture, is at the beginning of the prayer, where Jesus taught His disciples to pray, Thy kingdom come. Now, what Jesus was referring to in that particular instance is the fact that Jesus is going to come again to this earth. And there is a time when he will set up an earthly rule, and here for 1,000 years, which we refer to as the millennial reign of Christ upon the face of this earth, he shall rule and reign and shall be king upon the face of this earth. And that is what is referred to in the words, "Thy kingdom come." But the second time that you find the word kingdom mentioned is in a different sense, because Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray a present tense prayer. Thine is the kingdom. And it's grouped along with two other words and thoughts: kingdom and power and glory. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. Now, what Jesus was referring to was present at that very moment. He said, the power of God is present. Thine is the power. You see, we do not have to wait until sometime for God to possess power. He is omnipotent. He is all power. He is the all-powerful one this very moment. He is El Shaddai, God Almighty, the all-powerful one. So what Jesus was referring to in that moment was present tense. And when he was saying that thine is the glory, we do not have to wait until sometime for God to become all glory, because he is still the all-glorious one, just as he was at the time Jesus taught his disciples to pray this prayer. For thine is the glory. It was present tense at that moment. So what he was referring to being in present tense of the power and the glory being there had to be true of what he was referring to as the kingdom of heaven. Thine is the kingdom. So since the power and the glory are now what is being spoken of as the kingdom, is also present this very moment, just as it was when Jesus spoke the words to teach his disciples to pray this prayer. And all three of these things, the kingdom and the power and the glory, are in this place right now. This is what John the Baptist began to preach. And turn back with me, if you would, to the third chapter of Matthew. John the Baptist, beginning with verse number 1. It said, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now when John came upon the scene, he began to deliver the message that God had given to him. He said, repent ye. Now these words, repent ye, here mean get right. It means turn your life around. Straighten out your life, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The word for kingdom here in the Greek means the rulership, the authority, the dominion of heaven. Now, there had not been very much rulership of heaven. There had not been too much authority nor dominion for many years as far as the Jewish community was concerned. In fact, Jewish tradition teaches us that during this particular period of time, that when Jewish people would gather together in their synagogues to worship Jehovah, instead of having anything that seemed like worship or praise, they were talking about their commerce and their business deals and their trades of the day. Instead of talking about Jehovah, they would talk about business and their problems that were going on. They had become so accustomed to the new moons and the feast days and man-made ceremonies and ordinances that no longer was God, Jehovah, the living God, in their worship. They were just simply going through the motions. Isn't it strange how the church goes through the same type of cycles, even as the people in Jewish history had gone through similar cycles? Because you see, churches have ups and downs. There are times when they are hungry for the things of God, and then they go through slack periods, and you come into God's house and people aren't all excited about the worship service. They're talking about everything else under the sun. other than worshiping God. And so into this kind of a situation came John the Baptist, a man sent from God. And here John begins to speak, and here where the devil had held sway for generations, even hundreds of years, for at least 400 years, suddenly he stands in front of these people and he begins to speak. And let me say for just a moment, I doubt very seriously that there would be very many of our churches who would have wanted John the Baptist to come and preach for them. You look at this man. You see, he was an evangelist. I don't know why evangelists catch all that is said, but most generally, they do. They're talked about how they dress, how they act. They say, oh, evangelists appear to be so flashy. Well, you look here at John the Baptist, the evangelist. And I have to admit, he was a trendsetter in fashions. Because he comes upon the scene. And well before his days, I mean, he was wearing raiment of camel's hair. And he was girt about his loins with a leathern girdle. Have you gone to any of the fashionable department stores and seen the prices of leather goods today? Oh, I tell you, have you ever smelled a camel's hair jacket? I can remember when we were in Cairo, Egypt. That was our first experience to ride a camel. What an experience. That camel gets up, not with the front feet first, but you're riding on that camel. And the first thing that you know, all of a sudden, his back legs go up. And you were thrust forward. And then backward. And oh, the aroma while you're riding the camel. But here came John upon the scene, fashion trendsetter, right out of the men's magazines, on the front page, raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle. And oh, you would have loved to have taken him out for lunch. Invite him to your home to eat. And when you get him there, be sure that your locusts are crisp and well done. And you have plenty of honey to cover the locusts up with. Because that's what he loved more than fried chicken. I don't know how he could have been an evangelist and not love fried chicken. That the Bible said that his diet consisted of locusts and wild honey. And look at him. He's got long hair. I mean, long, long hair. Back several years ago, I had invited Mike Warnke to come to Faith Tabernacle. I had never seen Mike Warnke. I did not know anything about Mike Warnke other than the fact that he had been a Satanist high priest. He had given his heart to the Lord. I was at the church praying, and God spoke to my heart, invite Mike Warnke to come to Faith Tabernacle. Now, I am an old traditional minister. And I drove out to the airport to pick up Mike Warnke. And when Mike Warnke walked off the plane, I still did not know what he looked like, but it didn't take me very long to pick him out, because he had long, long, long hair that was pulled back and tied in a knot on the back, and he had on black leather, I mean from top to bottom, and he had on pink colored glasses, and I about died. I about died. And I tried to strike up conversation and appear happy and smile, and I was crying on the inside. And I loaded him in the car, and we started to the church, because it's about time to start church. And we went into my office, and I said, let's have prayer before we go out. He said, oh, Pastor, I'd love that. He grabbed a hold of my hand. We started praying. And I tell you, the Holy Ghost came down. And he prayed, and he prayed in the Holy Ghost. And we went out, and he shared his testimony. And I had never seen such a tremendous response of the invitation in all of my life as I saw when he gave his invitation. And young people and moms and dads flocked to the altar, weeping and crying and seeking God. We had a tremendous service. If I'd looked at him and chosen him by vision and sight, I wouldn't have had him. A lot of people would not have had John the Baptist. But you see, here was a man that was sent from God. And he had a message direct from heaven. And here is what John the Baptist said. He said, get right with God. Because the rulership, the authority, the dominion of heaven is at hand. And my friends, that's what the world is waiting for and longing for tonight, is to hear an authoritative message, a message which says that the rulership and the authority and the dominion of heaven is at hand. And when you read those two words, at hand, that combination in the Greek means to draw near or to come right down over this spot or place. And no wonder that people literally by the thousands knelt down and repented and got right with God. Because John the Baptist was standing before them and he was saying, get right with God. Turn your life around. Straighten your life out. Because hell does not rule this territory anymore. Because heaven is coming down. And the rulership and the authority and the dominion of heaven is coming down over this very spot, this very moment. That's what I stand before you and proclaim tonight. The devil does not rule this territory, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The rulership, the authority, the dominion of heaven is coming down in this sanctuary this very moment. And I'm not surprised that John the Baptist moved the people of his day, because you see, he had a message from God. He didn't just stand and preach a sermon. I've preached a lot of sermons. It's one thing to say something, and it's another thing to have something to say. And when John the Baptist spoke, it was God's word. It was God's message. He looked at those people who had just been going through the form of worship and just going through the ritual of going into the temple and not talking and worshiping God. And he looked at them and he said, it's time for you to get right with God. It's time for you to straighten out your life, because the rulership and the authority and the dominion of heaven is coming down over this spot and this place this very moment. And no wonder people repented and got right with God. When Jesus came, it's what he began to preach. Look in the 4th chapter of Matthew and look at verses 17 and then verse 23. Verse number 17. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What was Jesus saying? Get right with God. Straighten out your life. The rulership, the authority, the dominion of heaven is coming down over this very spot at this very moment. Now, there was a great deal of difference between the ministries. And not necessarily the words, but the ministries of John the Baptist and our Lord. When John came, he was only a voice crying in the wilderness. And he said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. But when Jesus came, he said not only that heaven was coming down over this place, but brothers and sisters, when Jesus said that heaven was coming down, it came down. The rulership, the authority, the dominion of heaven began to come down. Every place Jesus went, the authority, the dominion of heaven came down, because the devil no longer controlled the territory, for Jesus was there. Verse number 23. Notice what it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Did you hear it? Jesus preached the good news of the kingdom. He preached the good news of the rulership and the authority and the dominion of heaven. And friends, he had it. He had it every place he went. And when he began to preach like that, it didn't make any difference what the sicknesses were, nor the diseases, nor the needs or the infirmities that anyone may have. He set them free by the power of the Word of God, and it's still available to us tonight. Doesn't matter, because hell does not rule this territory tonight. I don't care what your need is. I don't care what your sickness, your infirmity, your desire may be. The rulership, the authority, the dominion of heaven is in this place tonight. Now look at the 9th chapter of Matthew. In verse number 35. The 9th chapter in verse number 35. It said, and Jesus went about all of the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Has God changed? Has the Lord changed? Is he still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us? Does the devil control and rule this territory tonight? No, he doesn't. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The rulership, the authority, the dominion of heaven is at hand. And he says, if you will just simply straighten out your lives, if we get right with God, then the rulership, the authority, the dominion of heaven is coming down. Now this is not repetition. This is holy emphasis of what the Holy Spirit is endeavoring to say. And notice how Jesus went about his ministry. He was going to and speaking to all of the people. And he was speaking so that people could understand what he was saying. Dan Betzer is a good friend of mine, and we've had him several times to our churches in Oklahoma City. He's told me on different occasions, he said, Kenneth, when I prepare the revival time broadcast, he said, we never preach above the fourth grade level. He said, we're preaching as though people were in the fourth grade so that they can clearly understand what is being said. We don't try to go above anybody's head. I don't know how many of you may still remember that little nursery rhyme that we learned as a child many years ago called Little Bo Peep. Anybody remember Little Bo Peep? Not very many. Few do. Good. I'm glad that you remember. Remember how it goes? Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep and doesn't know where to find them. Just leave them alone and they'll come home wagging their tails behind them. Do you know why we remember? Because it was so simple and so easy to learn, and we remember. But just suppose we begin to try to teach someone to say it like this. Little Bo Peep has inadvertently become sequestered from her maternal pets and does not at present apprehend their whereabouts, but refrains from interfering with them, believing that they will, of their own volition, return to their habitable abodes, vibrating in their rears, their posterior appendages. I have just said, Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep and doesn't know where to find them. Just leave them alone, and they'll come home wagging their tails behind them. But if we had taught someone the way I said it the second time, we would have lost them. They would never have been able to remember it. And you see, when we talk to people about the things of God, we will touch them with the simplicity of it all. And Jesus went about and he didn't try to build big sermons. He didn't try to talk above people's head. He just told them very simply, as John the Baptist had been telling people, if you'll just get right with God, all you've got to do is straighten out your life. And then the rulership, the authority, the dominion of heaven will come down over this very place, because hell does not rule this territory anymore, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you see, Jesus went unto all of the cities, all of the villages, and he had but just one message every place he went: get right with God, straighten out your life. For the rulership and the authority and the dominion of heaven is coming down over this very place. And so he could go to those who were blind. He could go to those who were deaf. He could go to those who were lame. He said, up until this moment, hell has dominated this territory. The devil is in control. But if you'll just straighten your life out, if you'll just get right with God, the rulership, the authority, the dominion of heaven is coming down. And when he began to preach like that and talk to them like that, people by the scores were being brought to him, then by the hundreds and by the thousands. And everyone they brought to him, he set them free, because the authority and the rulership and the dominion of heaven was coming down in that very place. And I don't care how much heaviness that you may have in your heart and in your life tonight. I don't care what your status in life may be. I don't care if you're educated or you're not educated. The message is still the same. Just get right with God. Straighten out your lives. For the rulership and the authority and the dominion of heaven is coming down in this sanctuary tonight. That sounds just like Jesus. Now turn with me to the 10th chapter of Matthew, verses 7 and 8. And I want you to notice something very closely tonight. And here Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He says, and as you go, preach, say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. So Jesus is speaking to the ones whom he loves. And he tells them to say, when you go out, here's the message that you're to convey to them. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You didn't get it. Just tell them, if you'll just get right with God, the rulership and the authority and the dominion of heaven will come down. Freely ye have received, freely give. Now Jesus was not talking about offerings here. He was not talking about people giving of their money. Notice what he said just before that. He said, as you go and you tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now here's what you're supposed to do as a disciple of Christ. You're to heal the sick. He said, you're to cleanse the lepers. He said, you're to raise the dead. He said, you're to cast out devils. Because freely, you, as a disciple, have received from me. And if you have freely received, then he said, it is your responsibility to freely give. And the reason Jesus said this is because he was giving to his disciples the power of attorney. That's exactly what he has given to every one of us. How many of us here tonight are saved? Are you saved? You're saved. You're a disciple of Jesus. You're saved. And for every disciple of the Lord, to every one of us, we receive the gift of salvation freely. We have received the benefits and the blessings freely from him. We have not had to take out a checkbook, go borrow money at the bank, or sell something that we had to give to him. Freely we have received, and freely he has given unto us. And he said, I have given it to you freely. Now it's your responsibility to go and to share with everyone, because now you are an ambassador for heaven to this earth. And you see, an ambassador, when he goes from the United States to another country, he has the power of attorney, and he has the authority of the United States government when he goes to another country. And his word possesses power, for he speaks in behalf of the United States of America. And oh, what an honor to be an ambassador for the United States of America. Because behind his appointment, behind him being selected and chosen by our government, he can go to any country where he is placed, and he speaks in behalf of our government, and all of the resources and the power and the strength of the United States is behind him when he goes. And we are the ambassadors of heaven. He said, freely you have received, freely give. For he has given us the power. He has given us the authority. He has given us the rulership. He has given us the dominion. If we have repented, if we have gotten our hearts right with God, if we have surrendered and straightened out our lives, every place that we go, we possess the authority and the dominion and the rulership of heaven. I can go any place, and by the power of the authority of heaven that is now resident in my heart and in my soul, I can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I shall lay hands upon those who have died, and they shall be raised again. You say, oh, is it possible? Not very often, but it is. Earlier in our ministry, we were in a revival meeting in Enid, Oklahoma. One Sunday morning, I was preaching at the First Assembly of God Church, and a man who had been in that church for many years suddenly screamed, grabbed his chest and slumped to the floor. And the people rushed and called the ambulance. And I stopped my message. And they came and loaded him up and took him to St. Mary's Catholic Hospital in Enid, Oklahoma. And they got him to the hospital. They began to examine him. Discovered that he had had a massive heart attack. And during the meantime, I concluded the sermon, and the pastor and I then drove to the hospital, and the church began praying. And we went into the hospital room, and they came out and informed us that Brother Robinson was dead, that he had been dead for more than 10 minutes. And they had covered his body with a sheet, and we were trying to console his wife. When all of a sudden, you heard a sound. And the nurses and the doctors rushed back in. And Brother Robinson was sitting up on a table. And he shared with us when he came back to the church 3 days later because they wanted to keep him in the hospital for 3 days to find out what had happened. And he shared that after he had gotten to the hospital, he said, the pain was so tremendous in my chest. But he said, I remember when all of a sudden all the pain left. And said, the Lord came and he took me. And he said, I saw my body slump down, but my soul and my spirit was being taken by the Lord. And said, I saw the doctors and the nurses frantically working on me. And I saw them go and tell my wife that I was gone. And said, I watched them as they covered my body. And Jesus started taking me. And said, we started going through the sky. And said, we drew close to the city. And said, I could see the sights of the city. And he began to describe what he saw, which is confirmed in the Word of God, the sights that he beheld. And he said, as he started down towards the city, the Lord suddenly turned to him and said, where are the sheaves that you were to bring to me? And Brother Robinson said, I looked, and I turned to the Lord and said, but Lord, I don't have any sheaves. I've not won any souls. He said, would you like to have some sheaves to lay at my feet when we get to heaven? And he said, yes, Lord. He said, I'm going to take you back. And you see, I cannot claim the responsibility. Somebody touched heaven and touched the heart of Jesus. And Jesus brought him back. And he said, when he started down to where his body was covered with the sheet, he said, when the Lord put him back, there was no pain. And he said, then's when I sat up and threw the sheet back and hollered out. And that's when they came back in. I have seen people raised from the dead, but it's because the rulership and the authority and the dominion of heaven came down, and where the devil thought he held sway in a hospital room, the kingdom of heaven came down and dispelled the darkness. And friends, that's the authority, that's the power, that's the dominion that's available to us tonight. And if we have gotten right with God, and you see, that's still the problem in the majority of the hearts of Christians. They still haven't gotten right with God. But when we get right with God, I didn't say it. He said the rulership, the authority, the dominion of heaven is at hand. And every place we go, we take that rulership and the authority and the dominion of heaven with us. And we can speak. And we are exercising the power that is given to us as ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven. You see, you don't realize who you are. If we realized who we were, we would desire more to be drawn to the Lord. We would spend more time in His presence. We would honor Him more with our lives, because He said, freely ye have received, freely give. And see, what we have received, we've received forgiveness, we've received healing, we've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we've received His love given to us again and again and again. How many times has He touched us? How many times has He forgiven us? How many times have we called upon Him and He's helped us and come to our rescue and bailed us out? How many times has He helped us? And how many times are we doing something for Him? But He said, if you'd only realize, really you have received, in every place you go. I'm cognizant of that fact. Every place I go, I have the authority and the dominion and the rulership of heaven that is at my disposal. And I have prayed for people in some of the most unorthodox places, and they have been healed. I have witnessed to people in some terrible places, and they have been saved, because the rulership and the authority and the dominion of heaven is coming down. Because I have freely received, and I have to freely give. But you can't give something that you don't have. You have to have it before you can give it. You have to know that you have it before you can give it. And that's the reason it is so important to stay in His Word, to stay on your knees, to seek His face, and realize who we are in Christ Jesus, that I am nothing without Him. But Paul said, I can do all things through Him, through Christ, which strengthens me. He said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, shall ever be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Every place I go, I've got His love, I've got His presence, I've got His power, I have His Word. And He said, the rulership and the authority and the dominion of heaven is coming down in this very place tonight. It's here. He's here to set you free. And He wants us to be set free. Will you stand? Peter and John entered into the temple. I shared this briefly the other night, but it comes to my remembrance again. Here's a man lame from his mother's womb, hanging at the gate. There's not a doubt in my mind that many times Jesus had passed by the very same way. Why He did not heal the man, the only explanation I have is that He left it so it could be recorded in the fashion that it is. So that when Peter and John came by, and the man reached up and asked for alms, they stopped and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I you. And they reached down and they gave something that they had. They had the rulership, the authority, the dominion of heaven. God's no respecter of persons. And we've got it tonight as well. And they took Him by the hand and lifted Him up. And immediately He received strength in His ankles. And He, leaping up, stood, rejoicing, praising, magnifying God. You see, if you never envision you doing anything like that for the kingdom, it's doubtful that you'll ever do it. If you never envision it. But I pray that the Holy Spirit will help you to realize who you are tonight. Every one of us. Because, Robert, you've got power. And the girl you was asking me to pray with you about last night, the Holy Spirit can give you the words, and you can exercise the authority and the rulership and the dominion of heaven. And you have an opportunity, because you've got a lot of young friends who are in desperate need that their lives be straightened out and made right with God. And you've got the authority, the rulership, and the dominion of heaven. Such as you have, you can give. That goes for every one of you young people. That goes for every one of you standing here tonight. What you have, He expects us to give. And you just don't realize what you have. But I pray that the Holy Spirit will let you realize what is in your possession, because you are an ambassador of another world, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of the Lord is moving through this congregation, there's a very special group of people in this service tonight. Very special, because the Holy Spirit has drawn you to this service. He wanted you here so that you could hear the message that the Lord gave me. And I pray that you will receive the message from the Lord and realize who you are tonight. And you may be here in this service, and you may not even realize what you possess. But as the Spirit of God has been speaking to hearts, you've recognized that maybe I've not been doing all that I could be doing, but I want to surrender. I want to be used of God. I want to be sure that I have repented in my own heart, that I have straightened my life out, that I've gotten right with God. And if I have, then the authority and the rulership and the dominion of heaven is coming down in my soul, and the devil no longer occupies the territory, but heaven does. And that you can be endued with power from on high and be an ambassador for Christ. If the Spirit's speaking to your heart right now, and you just be willing to lift your hand right now and say, Brother McGee, as you've preached this sermon tonight, I've stood here and I've felt that my heart is not completely right with God yet. I haven't totally straightened out my life. I can't say that I have truly repented of everything, but I'd like to surrender it all tonight. Would you lift your hand? Would you lift your hand just now, if there's anyone? Oh, I thank you, Lord. Yes, you can take your hand down. Yes. Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Yes, I see that. Yes. Oh, God. If you've lifted your hand, and even as you stand in His eternal presence, that desire is welling up in your heart, Lord, I want you to use me. I want to be willing to be used by you. And you've lifted your hand and you want to surrender completely. I want those of you who've raised your hand to come and kneel at these altars right now. Just come and bring yourself to Jesus right now and surrender completely to Him. That's right. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. I mean business with you tonight. I want to be sure. I'm not asking you to come and join the church. I'm just asking you to come and to be sure that you have surrendered it all to Him. Would you come? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God bless you for your sincerity and your honesty and your hunger. Because He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It'll become your portion. Hallelujah. Are there others just now? Lord, I want it all. I want everything that you have for me tonight. I want to straighten my life out. I want to be sure. I want to be sure that I've turned it around completely for you tonight, so that I can be used by you. Hallelujah. Oh, God bless these hungry hearts. Now I'm going to ask everyone to come. I want you to find a place to kneel and pray around these altars. Let us seek the face of the King tonight.
Hallelujah. Those of you who want to come and pray with these who have already come, you do so tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.